Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. We have a lot of talented people in Us Lifting Us, so you can suggest yourself to come on and tell us what you do when you're not listening to Dare to Win. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Baba Hakima, one of the founding members of ULU. Tonight's topic is Liberated Minds, Building Liberated Communities. Peace, Baba Hakima. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, sis, and thanks for asking. And these third Thursdays come around so fast, don't they?
Yes, they sure do.
Yes, indeed. But it's always good to be with family. Yeah.
And we look forward to having you with us. No, I'm saying we look forward to having you. So
oh, yeah.
They can't. They roll around fast, but in some ways not fast enough.
Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah. And
so where would you like to begin tonight, Baba Hakima?
Well, I just want to, again, thank you and the Dare to Win team for hosting these calls every week. And always we want to remind us, and you did so in your introduction, that we do have an exact method for building liberated communities. And I want to encourage all of our listeners to go on to our website, usliftinus.com. And if you haven't been there within the last 2 weeks, you're in for a treat. We did a facelift on the website. And what we've done, we've added to the front page a serious question for you video, and it's at the top of the page. And so when brothers and sisters go there and click on the 3-minute video, they're asked, you know, that provocative question. Do you feel we should control the economics of our community? And what I want brothers and sisters to do, if they haven't gotten the full explanation of our system, just from our website, click on our link to our email, info@usliftinus, or call us at the number listed on the website and say yes. In other words, answer the question. And you'll be surprised to see that there is a process that we take you through to fully explain the system. So again, go to our website and play the 3-minute video, and then do your due diligence and let us know that you, in fact, would like to see us control the economics of our community, and we will take you through some very precise steps to explain exactly how our system works. And I think you'd be pleasantly surprised that how well thought out our system, in fact, is. And you mentioned that not only are we talking about empowering our communities or building liberated communities, but being in a position to pass it to future generations as well. And for the foreseeable future, we're going to maintain the theme, Liberated Minds Building Liberated Communities. And so the third Thursday, we take the time to kind of bring members and the general family up to date in terms of what's happening in Oulu. Of course, in over 30 days ago, we had our annual members meeting and convention, and of course that was virtual. We're looking forward to our next annual meeting in March of next year being virtual and face-to-face. And so we really missed the days when we were face-to-face. And, of course, the pandemic, or some call the plandemic, forced us to go virtual. But we're heavily involved in planning for next year, and we want to see all the faces in the place. We will probably be in Atlanta this time as well. And the other thing, and we're going to talk about it more later in the program, but we're focusing our energies on building local chapters of ULU. In the past, we functioned as a global organization and structure, and we didn't have chapters. We did have some activity in various cities in the U.S., and we had a little bit of activity, a flurry of activity in Ghana as well. But we're going to focus this time on having chapters, and our vision is to have hundreds and eventually thousands of local chapters. And later on, we'll talk about how special these chapters would be. And in addition to bringing members and our family up to date in terms of happenings in ULU, when we have a chance to, we also focus on other projects and happenings in our local communities around the country and globally. This evening, when our guest is in place, we're going to talk about two projects. Oh, great. We're going to talk about two projects here in Atlanta that we want to have some focus on. Greetings, Brother Anthony.
Greetings, Brother Hakima and Sister Q.
Peace, Brother Anthony.
Good. Brother Anthony is, I'm not sure how long he's been a member, but we've recently been energized by some of his activities. And what we want to do is allow Brother Anthony to give us a description and an overview of two projects that he's working on, and it may spur some conversation. And then afterwards, we're going to get back to the local UBCs here in Atlanta. But Brother Anthony, just give us an overview of the projects that the two projects that I'm looking forward to getting more information about, and anything else that you may want to share with us.
Yes, yes, thank you, Brother Hakima, and thank you for inviting me to spend some time with you and Sister Q this evening and to talk about two projects about which I am extremely passionate and very excitedly engaging. And one is called the Black Mile. And the Black Mile is, we operate under the belief that, as was stated already, that we should control and own the economy of our neighborhoods. And the Black Mile Foundation believes that that can be accomplished via the formation of an economic corridor that we call the Black Mile. And that concept is rather general, as far as there have been Black Miles created throughout the country, such as Magnificent Mile in Chicago, Atlanta, where I'm located, attempted to have the Midtown Mile. And you've had various efforts towards creating economic corridors, and you build a community off of that. So the Black Mile Foundation is a nonprofit foundation with the aim of building a complete neighborhood that's vibrant and functional as far as servicing the needs of us as African people here in the United States. So that's a quick overview of the Black Mile. And then the second project is called, it's a housing project. So the essence of the Black Mile in the relationship with the housing project, so the Black Mile, not only do we have us controlling our own economy, but we have a healthy, complete neighborhood. And an element of that healthy, complete neighborhood is having a neighborhood that resembles yourself. So, and the song before segment this evening was Our Roots Began in Africa. And I thought that was a perfect introduction to the concept that I'm introducing, which is called Kijiji. And Kijiji means village in Kiswahili. And Kijiji is an African-inspired neighborhood that we are actively building here in Atlanta, Georgia, in a historically significant area of Atlanta, which is Southwest Atlanta. And what's unique about Kijiji, there are many things unique, is that it is completely comprised of African architecture. So all of the houses are designed with an African architecture in mind. And African architecture consists of various elements, spirituality, the materials that we use, the culture, the aesthetics, and community engagement. So with our Kijiji neighborhood, we have community engagement being created by building what's called a pocket neighborhood. And pocket neighborhoods is a concept and a term that was coined by Ross Chapin, I think back in the 70s, where you build houses close together and you build them around a courtyard so that the people who live in the houses, they have a community environment that's inspired by the positioning of the houses around the courtyard. Instead of facing a street, they face each other and they face a courtyard. So where people can come out of their houses, because all of the houses have front porches, and people can engage in very organic, natural conversation because they are in very close proximity to each other. And that's what we're building. So we're building an African-inspired pocket neighborhood in Atlanta, Georgia, that we call Kijiji. And it would be unlike anything you have ever experienced here on planet Earth. So in preparation for Kijiji, I've been traveling not only throughout the United States, just observing Black neighborhoods and how we are building community around the country. I've also traveled to Africa this past year and spent time in 5 different countries in East Africa, just exploring architecture and, again, how we are engaging community and building community there as well. It's all about one global African community for me. And what I've observed that our neighborhoods don't reflect who we are as people. Our roots began in Africa, but our architecture that surrounds us doesn't in any way resemble us. And sadly, that was even the case in Africa. So what I discovered doing my research, and there's an organization called CPDI, Community Planning and Design Institute Africa, that's based in Nigeria, in Abuja, and they've been exploring what does African architecture look like. When we think of architecture, we always think of various European concepts. There's always Mediterranean, there's French, and it's always this idea that's not of us as far as when it comes to architecture. And what happened in Africa as far as the loss of that association with African architecture was during colonization. So during that period, the colonizers built in accordance with their own architectural vernacular and paradigm and scheme. So whether it was Dutch or English or, again, French or German, they did it. And so when colonization and colonialism, those eras began to end in the 50s and 60s, the architects who were left behind, the African architects, they continued to maintain the same type of architectural paradigm as their colonizers. So it was really lost, and you didn't. So the development of African architecture was just lost. So so the presence of modern day concepts of such just really do not exist on a large scale. And so that's something that's very important to me, because I think that your built-up environment should reflect yourself. And the most fundamental space is your home. And I think your home should resemble your heritage. And we as African people deserve to have, you know, beautiful architecture that resembles us as African people and our aesthetic and our culture, using things, materials close to earth, and that create, again, an organic family and not just the traditional style of building in the United States, where people are isolated in very large houses. So the average house today in the United States is about 2,800 square feet. And statistics show that only about 40% of that space is used regularly. So you have a lot of wasted space. That's not good for the ecosystem in any respect. So you're wasting space, you're wasting materials, you're wasting energy, et cetera. So the Kijiji houses would be more size efficient and built very much sustainably. And again, with respect to the space, respect to the earth upon which they'd be built, as well as respect to the environment by using sustainable type materials and making the houses very energy efficient and arranging them in a manner that people can be in community with each other. And I think that's one of the things that's been lost within the American architectural landscape and how we build neighborhoods.
Well, those are two exciting projects, and we're going to go a little deeper into them. But let's go back to the Black Mile, because
yes.
I'm familiar with the area that you're speaking of, and almost everybody who visits Atlanta, comes around Atlanta for a little while, knows about the West End. And so the Mile is from the corridor is Ralph David Abernathy. Is that where you're focusing?
That is, Brother
okay.
Kim. An economic mile, a corridor doesn't have to be a mile in itself.
Right.
But it is precisely 1 mile, that particular corridor that we are focusing our efforts on in the West End. And the West End is critical to this particular project because, to me, it most exudes Afrocentrism within Atlanta, where it's still present, alive and well, a lot of energy in the West End neighborhood of Atlanta, a lot of creative energy. And you have a plethora of Black institutions that are there. We have the six Black colleges and universities there, Spelman Morehouse, Clark Atlanta, Morris Brown, ITC, Morehouse School of Medicine, all six of them. We have other just historic institutions such as the church where Ralph David Abernathy pastored, which is West Hunter Street Baptist Church. You know, he was the friend and mentor to Martin Luther King Jr. So the West End, and it has great infrastructure to accommodate the Black Mile. However, there has to be, again, where we are focused on building a space that reflects who we are, that we own, that we control the economy of, and that can be the West End. And I think it can start with first by designating the area as being a Black Heritage District, where we are preserving our heritage and we are emphasizing the importance of maintaining that heritage and not just having our heritage become a placard, but we are alive and well within that particular heritage district. And such as, for example, the U Street corridor in Washington, D.C., where Howard University is located, was it's Black history and heritage is phenomenal as far as just the people who resided there, the businesses that were present there. But now most of the businesses and people are now represented by placards. So they're no longer present. The businesses and the establishments are no longer owned by Black people. They're just placards in front of them to say, once upon a time, Duke Ellington lived in this house. No, now the house is no longer Black-owned. This business, it was once a Black-owned business. But we don't want to become that. We want to have, we are still alive and well, and we should still control our neighborhoods and make certain that they reflect the type of living experience that we deserve as Black people. One of the things I have also, I was reading the book, what's it called? The Color of Law. The Color of Law. I don't know if you're familiar with that particular book, but it talks about just the history of discrimination towards us as African people here in the United States, and that and how intentional the government, whether it's the FHA, USDA, how it's been very intentional in undermining the experience that we have as Black people. So as far as denying us access to adequate housing, denying us the right to live where we wanted to live and have the type of healthy communities that we deserve to have. So that particular legacy continues to this day as far as us just not having the vibrant communities that we deserve. And what was the inspiration for the Black Mile here in Atlanta was I was building a house in the West End in 2019. And from where I was residing at that time and driving to the new house that I was building every day for a year and a half, I would notice stark differences between where I was living at that time in a predominantly white neighborhood and driving over to the West End, going through other predominantly white neighborhoods and then arriving in the West End. So I would go through very vibrant and highly active predominantly white neighborhoods where that reflected their particular lifestyle and what they desired in their lives. And then when I would reach the West End, there was less vibrancy. And of course, most of the businesses there we do not own. So if you want something to be done, you have to do it. So I instead of just complaining about it, I began, because it was during the pandemic that came about in 2020, I just took time to create a white paper, which I call the Black Paper, and began to write out the ideas and the vision for what I wanted to see within the West End and how it can be accomplished. And certainly when you bring forth the economic strength that we can have, that we have here in Atlanta, and we can build whatever we desire. It just has to be intentional, and it has to have a builder leading that particular charge. And because Atlanta has over 2.3 million Black people in metropolitan Atlanta, second only to New York City as far as the number of Black people within the metropolitan area. And we have an economy of over $100 billion as Black people in Atlanta, and yet there is no single complete neighborhood for Black people here in metropolitan Atlanta. And that totally contradicts the idea of Atlanta being this black Mecca, because you cannot be a Mecca if you don't own Mecca. You don't control it.
Right.
And you don't control it.
Exactly. Exactly.
And the Black Mile is a method to change that particular dynamic, where we provide incentives for black people and black businesses to locate into the heritage, Black Heritage District. And we began to build this particular ecosystem that we need in order to obtain the liberated minds that we all need to have. And that liberated mind diminishes, you know, day by day. Each day we are separated from our native land, our roots, which are in Africa. We lose that more and more. And this makes it so important that we build spaces that reflect who we are and reflect our value system of community, our value system of cooperation and not, you know, not competition for just the sake of competition, our value system of cooperativeness and not just individualism and what have you. So,
yes.
And that's what drew me to us lifting up to Ulu when I reached out to you, Brother Hakima, back in 2019, was, you know, I saw the work that Ulu was doing, and I understand the importance of being a part of organizations that reflect the value system that you possess and that's doing the work that you know has to be done to obtain the objectives and vision that you have personally.
I see. And, of course, you have a background in building. I understand you came from a family of that was involved in the construction trades, and you became an engineer yourself, a civil engineer. And so you've been around building for all your life. And so So this is a natural for you. And of course, the Black Mile is not void of anchor businesses. We've got the Shrines of the Black Madonna. We've got Soul Vegetarian Restaurant with the Hebrew Israelites. We've got, I wouldn't include the Wren's Nest. That's not us, but it talks about us. But, of course, you talked about West Hunter Street Baptist Church, and you probably know other anchors there as well. We've got the largest funeral home in the state of Georgia on the mile. It's a black funeral home, but it's larger than any funeral home in the state of Georgia. And when you see Dr. King's pictures of Dr. King's funeral and the horse-drawn carriages and whatever, and that's the funeral home that participated in that as well. You also have another Ulu member on the strip, and you and I haven't talked about it, but it's I can't think about it now, but he archives black films. I'll think about it in a moment. But the beautiful thing about both of your projects, they're not that far apart. So as you and Ulu and others join in building the corridor that we will call the Black Mile, because it fits into our strategy as well. And I really like our themes, Liberated Minds Building Liberated Communities. But your second project in terms of living space for our families, you know, is just a stone's throw away. It's still in what's called the West End of Atlanta. Now, when you visited East Africa, I think you mentioned you visited five countries. Were you inspired in terms of architecture, or did you already have some notion of architectural design before you went?
I had some notion. I began the process of research on African architecture prior, and I had already began design work with an architect prior. However, I wanted an African architect. So that was one of my objectives for being in East Africa, in Kenya, in Nairobi. And while there, I was introduced to an amazing young Black architect who is now on our team with Kijiji, and he is doing amazing work. So I'm extremely excited about Kijiji and what we are going to provide to not only people who choose to live in Kijiji, which a lot of people are already planning to live in Kijiji, but for people to see it, to come there and to experience it, because a part of what we will have in the Kijiji neighborhood and as part of the Kijiji experience will be a tumbo. And a tumbo is a womb in Kiswahili, and that would be our community center, so where we can host events and we can bring in various African thought leaders in every aspect of life, and they can impart their knowledge and their wisdom. So, and again, building community. So that is an exciting aspect of the Kijiji experience. And yes, but I am bringing forth various aspects of African influence from the East and from the West, from the South and the North. So we're looking at all the different regions of Africa, and we are, again, infusing various aspects of Africanism into the Kijiji experience. It would be unlike anything, any housing experience you can find on planet Earth.
Yeah.
And, well, right, and it's very close to the Black Mile. So it's still in Southwest Atlanta.
Yeah.
It's just outside the perimeter, though, but it's within the city limits of Atlanta in a neighborhood called Boulder Park.
Yes. But the exciting thing about it is that once this particular Kijiji project is up and completed, you're off to another one, and then off to another one, and then off to another one. So we're talking about duplicating these pocket communities, these liberated communities, wherever there's an opportunity to acquire the space and to build, wherever there's an interest. But not only are you talking about duplicating these in other cities and other areas, but you're also inviting the community to participate in terms of maybe investors as well. So you're not talking about being the big dog and the hog in this, but there are ways that the community can share in it. And of course, we look forward to the time when Ulu can be a partner with you as well. So just give us I probably stole your thunder, but I just want you to repeat that this is not just a one-off.
Exactly.
You have bigger ideas.
Yes, exactly. So as part of my whole tour of the United States, I've been to many major cities already just this year. And again, observing how we are building and living in community as Black people around the world. And I see a space for Kijiji, and I've been identifying properties already. And Sister Q, we will definitely be up in Charlotte and provide you with the Kijiji experience as well, you and your loved ones. And so, but yes, we are looking at duplicating this. So that's why we are putting so much effort, so much research, and bringing in all the best and brightest minds into this process, into my team, so we can get it right, so we can create this amazing living experience and then we can duplicate it readily throughout the country. And we want people to participate. You can participate by coming and viewing it and participate by assisting in the process of building. And you can invest. We are open to investors and investment dollars. And you can simply go to KijijiAtlanta.com. That's, Kijiji is spelled K-I-J-I-J-I. So all one word, KijijiAtlanta.com, and you can reach me there and invest and become a part of this amazing journey into building an African neighborhood like none other. And it is critical to creating a liberated mind, I believe, Brother Hakima, because so much about the United States has been about disallowing us from seeing ourselves in the spaces where we reside, from seeing our beauty and from seeing us in just a healthy state. And I think as a result of that, it creates this smallness psychologically, emotionally, and it compromises, I believe, our ability to know and to love ourselves as we deserve to. And that leads to many other problems. So it's paramount for us to get this right and to build and deliver to us as Black people a space, a neighborhood that exudes our beauty as Black people, that taps into our culture, our heritage as African people, and it's reflected not only inside our home, I'm sorry, not only is it reflected throughout the neighborhood and in the exterior of your home as far as being African architecture, but throughout your home. So we have it as far as our process to completely integrate and infuse throughout your home as far as how we're designing them, you'll be just embraced and just comforted with the presence of Africa throughout your living space, throughout your neighborhood, and among your friends who live there in the neighborhood and who will become like family. And it's all a part of the Kijiji experience as far as the programming that we'll have, as far as how we honor our holidays with ourselves. We look, because Kwanzaa and then principles of Kwanzaa are just integral to our approach to building Kijiji. And it's a remarkable experience. So we are definitely open to investors to participate. And you can find out more and how at KijijiAtlanta.com.
Ashe. Well, both of your projects really fit well with Us Lift and Us, Economic Development Cooperative, that whole idea. And your projects being in Atlanta at this time dovetails with what ULU is doing at this time in terms of organizing what we call, Us Lift and Us Based Communities, or UBCs. We had initially said that we would start out with creating two UBCs in Atlanta, but we thought better of it. We're going to create one and then divide it, one on the east side and one on the west side. And then, but Atlanta is so big and so spread out, we will probably end up with 5, 6, or 7 ULU chapters here in Atlanta. But we want to build the first as a prototype, much the way you're building Kijiji as a prototype. And then once you build it, then you'll duplicate it. We'll do the same thing with the ULU chapters or the UBCs. So the prototype will be built here in Atlanta. Then we will expand throughout the world, the African world. And we look forward to having hundreds and eventually thousands of chapters. And each of them will have an economic empowerment component within it. And from those components and the aggregation and pooling of resources, we'll be able, not only from our base in Atlanta, but our global base, be able to join with projects like yours and others. Our primary focus will be in opening new businesses or purchasing or acquiring already existing businesses, acquisitions, and then partnering with projects like yours as well. And so the timing couldn't be better, and it's what we must do. We've been told throughout history that, well, I guess it's summed up best in Billie Holiday's advice to us, that God bless the child that's got his own. But Sister Q, are there any raised hands, any questions or feedback?
There are no raised hands at this time.
Okay.
I am enjoying hearing what Brother Anthony is saying, and I was thinking I would have to come to Atlanta to see the Kijiji project, but I hear he's bringing it to me, so that's good. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, he'd almost have to look at Charlotte, because Charlotte raises his head and says, I'm competing with you, Atlanta. As a matter of fact,
yes.
I think they've got the tallest building in the southeast in Charlotte, taller than any building here. Yeah, I think the Bank of America Tower there in Charlotte is taller than any building in Atlanta.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the case. But, you know, in terms of when banking was deregulated, Charlotte took advantage of that, and they became a banking center for the southeast. Anthony would do well to go to Charlotte. And, of course, Charlotte is my hometown, and that's where I was born and raised.
I did not know
goodbye.
That.
I left Charlotte in 62 and went to Durham, North Carolina. And, of course, Durham at one point had the richest black-owned company in the world. That was North Carolina Mutual Insurance Company. And when I moved to Atlanta in 81, there was a black airline flying out of the airport here, out of Hartsfield-Jackson Airport. The name of the airline was Air Atlanta, and it was a black-owned airline. And the primary financer of that airline was North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. And just as an aside, as a freshman at North Carolina Central, the school I went to, you know, a historically black school, we went on a bus trip to downtown Durham, and we were escorted into a building, and we went to the top of the building and toured, you know, as we went up and went down. But that, at that time, was the tallest building in Durham, North Carolina. That was North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. And the Hayti district of Durham, from an economic business standpoint, was probably larger than Black Wall Street in Tulsa. But at least it rivaled it in terms of business. And if brothers and sisters go on our website, usliftingus.com, and there's a link that says Our Story, and if you go down to the middle of the page and click on the video, it's about Hayti. And it's narrated, but it actually is the writing of Du Bois talking about Durham. And it takes you through a series of black-owned enterprises that connected and linked to each other to form an intact a community of business excellence. So, Charlotte and North Carolina is part of my history as well. Well, look, Brother Anthony, I'm excited about both of your projects, and I'm excited about you being a part of ULU and helping us think through the logistics of how we build the chapters, the ULU chapters locally, and have them built from the standpoint of liberated minds. You know, it's
yeah,
it's hard
sure.
to think of communities of liberated spaces that doesn't come from the minds of brothers and sisters who are liberated in their thinking as well, and understand that if it's to be done, it's got to be done by us. And the beautiful thing about it is that there's very little standing in our way. Most of what stops us is in our own heads and not in the real world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Brother Anthony?
Well, that's a lot more.
Yeah, I'm sure there is.
Brother Akima, sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
For this evening, I think hopefully I touched on the high points. So I'm just
yeah.
excited about
yeah.
our
yeah.
African pocket neighborhood, Kijiji.
Right.
And hopefully, well, not hopefully, but I know a lot of people will become a part of that experience, whether as investors or as residents.
Exactly.
And we're looking
exactly.
forward to creating the Black Mile and duplicating
yeah.
that throughout Black America.
Let me ask you this question. How many units do you see as a part of Kijiji?
Presently, we're looking at 100.
Whoa.
Units.
Oh, that's new to me. I didn't think that
oh,
there
really?
Would be that. Ooh, that's
oh, yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, yeah,
ooh.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That is what we are doing.
Those are single family houses. I mean, they're not
yes.
spreads. But so there can be 100 families in the village, in each village.
Yes, yes exactly.
That's powerful.
Yes, powerful. And but you wouldn't have all 100 houses around one large courtyard. You would have very
several
small
courtyards, huh?
clusters of
okay.
houses. So for an ideal pocket neighborhood, it should be between 6 to 10 houses.
Okay.
And that way it's not too small, but not too large. So you,
mm-hmm.
so that's the number we would keep it between 6 and 12, actually. And that's based on the research as far as being able to build that community and that family-like environment, because
mm-hmm.
for people to have that familiarity with each other. So you have a lot of privacy, but yet at the same time, you have that openness that opens you up to being building community. And so that's so the houses, the 100 houses plus, you know, will be arranged into clusters of like 10 houses, so that people can get to know people within their cluster and
right.
beyond.
Right, right. Now, family. This is a marriage, Kijiji and Ulu, because in Ulu, the local chapters that we're building, there are three primary local committees. The first one is a membership committee, and the membership committee is focused on building strong, supportive relationships among Ulu members. That may be involved, it may involve bulk buying. It may involve a community garden. It may be involved a time bank or seed bank, any number of things that allow members of Ulu to engage in commerce among themselves as families. The second committee is a media and marketing committee. And that committee locally will be engaged in developing and facilitating a database so that we know the members who own businesses or supply services that we need, so that we're able to be deliberate in terms of who we spend our money with, starting with Ulu members and then friends and family and outward. But we want to develop a very tight portfolio of how it is and who it is that we spend our monies with. And that's probably going to dovetail into an online portal that we call the trade basket, so that and you'll be pleasantly surprised with the renderings for the seal and logo of the trade basket. It's essentially an African woman with a basket on her head, holding it up, but then there are symbols of industries that we are heavily involved in globally as well. And then the third local committee is business research and development, and that one will focus on identifying businesses that we need to partner with or new businesses that we need to start. So there will be opportunities ongoing for us to learn from what you're doing and for you to learn from what we are doing, so that as we build these intentional communities, liberated communities and zones, we're building them, constructing them very intentional, so that we empower the community for the community to empower us as well. So this has been a very enlightening discussion, and for brothers and sisters who are in the listening audience, go to Khadiji's, Brother Anthony's website. Give your website again, brother, so people can know where to go.
It's KhadijiAtlanta.com. We just brought it online recently, so we're adding content to it each day. But you can get the key concepts, and you can, best yet, you can see how you can reach out to me, and you can see how you can contribute and invest in Khadiji and begin to grow generational wealth, because we are on the move, and you want to get on board early. So go to KhadijiAtlanta.com, K-I-J-I-J-I, Atlanta.com.
And for Ulu, and for those of us in particular who are in Atlanta and choose to participate or want to participate in building a local Ulu community or local chapter, we call them UBCs, Ulu-based communities, go to usliftinus.com and or however you can reach out to us by a phone number that's on the website or our email address. Let us know that you're interested in participating in the Ulu community locally. But if you're not in Atlanta and you look forward to a Ulu-based community coming to your city or a Khadiji coming to your city, let us know. If any information relative to Khadiji ends up in our files, we'll definitely send it over to you. This is exciting because one of the things that 2 years ago we had a brother, I think it was 2 years ago, who presented at our annual meeting. His name is Azra Aharon. He's a professor at Delaware State University. He's written three books that I know of. The first book, the name of it was Pond Sovereignty. In that book, he's trying to get us to realize that when you go to a pawn shop, anything that you pawn, you're trading a greater value for a lesser value. You never walk out of the pawn shop with something that's of greater value than what you brought. And so he's suggesting that we've traded our sovereignty for inclusion. And so the first book is Pawn Sovereignty. The second book is Sovereign Evolution. And so he's suggesting in that book that African people in the West and maybe African people globally or transition into a more sovereign psychic or more sovereign disposition. He noted that we're not there yet. And so his most recent book, and for all ULU members, go into the members portal, click on Resource Library, and his Ezra Haron's latest book, The Sovereign Psyche, is pictured there with a note from us asking you to purchase that book. The e-book is less than $5. Purchase it, because he does an excellent job at explaining to us the mind of Anthony. Because Khadiji and the Black Mile comes out of a sovereign consciousness. Because you're not trying to integrate. You're not trying to build. You're not trying to build for the world. You focus on what is good for us. And
yes,
when we stay in that space, it really makes it kind of simple and kind of easy. You're not as confused because you're basing your activity on kind of primal instincts in terms of what is good for you and what's good for the family and what's good for future generations of African people. But I encourage brothers and sisters to look at Ezra Aharon's works, in particular, The Sovereign Psyche, and you'll understand what motivates Brother Anthony on a day-to-day basis. Sister Q, that's all I had.
Well, that's plenty. Thank you both for that. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to both projects, The Black Mile, Khadiji, I said both, but also the ULU-based cooperative communities as well.
Right.
So thank you both for that.
One of the things, Sister Q, is before you cut off, you know, we talk about senior moments. The institution that I tried to reflect on earlier, being on the Black Mile, Black on Purpose TV, their studios on Black on Purpose TV, and he's been involved in ULU's activities and actually filmed one of our annual meetings several years ago. Black on Purpose TV. And Anthony, if you're not familiar with him, I'll let you know.
I am not.
Okay. He has a studio not far from Kroger, but coming back east, but within walking distance. But, yeah, Black on Purpose TV. And he has he's one of the, like on the Internet now, you have all of these apps, but he archives historical Black movies and documentaries and the like. He's a New Yorker, but he's come down to Atlanta in more recent years and established Black on Purpose TV. But he's on the Mile. He's right there on Abernathy. All right, family.
Thank you for that. Thank everyone that joined us this evening. We hope that you'll come back next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.
Peace.